Chapter 20. The day after my visit with Mort dawned warm, blue-skied, and still. It was the sort of day when not a breath of a breeze stirred the trees, and the humidity reminded me of a sauna. It was the day of Walter Harris's funeral. Each time I entered the gates of Goshen Cemetery, memories flooded my mind of the day a year ago last spring when Mom and I came to this sacred place to make sure everything was ready for Decoration Day. What we found here began one of the most terrifying times of my life. This was the final resting place of my dad and many other ancestors, but that awful day last May when we discovered a dead man on top of a pile of brush was the first thing indelibly printed in my memory. Miss Sugar greeted everyone who came through the cemetery gates. She was the only person I knew whose smile conveyed both sympathy and good cheer at the same time. Miss Sugar's cheerfulness, her roundness, and her white hair reminded me of Mrs. Santa Claus. I could imagine her baking pies and handing Santa cups of hot tea, warning him to keep his coat buttoned and his muffler on. Idly, I wondered if she had met Tim Johnson, the lawn person. They would make a jolly pair. We walked to the green, sugared funeral home tent spread across a new gravesite. Pitifully few people attended Walter's service. Pat was seated in a chair on a green outdoor carpet spread near the casket, poised above a yawning hole in the ground. A single basket of flowers sat nearby. The smell of freshly turned damp earth permeated the warm air. "I just don't know what's fitting and proper," Pat had confided to Mom earlier. "It's not as if he was living here as my husband. I never did go to the trouble of getting a divorce, so I guess I should attend his service out of respect for the man I thought he was when I married him years ago." Mom agreed that if Pat felt this way, she should attend, but should feel no obligation to do so. Walter's long absence had absolved Pat of any burden of responsibility. How could a father just walk away from his child and abdicate his role as mentor and protector? Was Jasper's habit of roaming the woods a result of searching for something to fill the void Walter left? Pat never did get a divorce. Did she secretly harbor a hope that someday the wandering husband would return? Or did she carry a strong resentment toward the man all these years? This would certainly be understandable. Could Pat have hated him so much she killed him? My overactive imagination conjured up a worried and wet Pat searching for her son during a thunderstorm, stumbling upon Walter in Old String's shack, and killing the man who had deserted her and Jasper. I didn't realize I was staring until Mom nudged me with her elbow. "Darcy, are you well? You are looking a hole through Pat," she whispered. With a jolt, I came back to reality and shook my head. How could I suspect Mom's open and honest friend of such a gruesome deed? Mom had known her since they were girls, and with Pat, what you saw was what you got. No hidden secrets, no devious thoughts. I was almost sure of that. Almost. "I just wish Jasper could have been here," Pat said, wringing her hands. "So do I," Mom murmured. "I wish he could be here to support you." Mom had told her friend about Jasper's night visit to our house. Knowing her son was safe calmed some of Pat's fears, but she still fretted because he would not come home and let Grant know he had nothing to do with Walter's death. Burke Hopkins stood alone, close to some of the most ancient graves in the cemetery, his arms folded across his chest and his face expressionless. Were some of Burke's ancestors buried here? Goshen was the final resting place for a woman who had been born before the Revolutionary War. Her grave marker was a strange, four-sided stone. The names of four different people were engraved on it. Goshen Cemetery was a history lesson written in the names of those who had once been a part of Ventress County. Grant's restless gaze skimmed the cemetery, the woods beyond, and the road which paralleled Goshen. Was he expecting Walter's killer to make an appearance at the funeral? Was he on the lookout for someone lurking among the shadowy trees or driving along the road, did Grant ever really relax and lay his lawman persona aside? Besides Miss Sugar and her nephew, we five were the only ones to pay our final respects to Walter. Pat whispered to Mom, "I don't know where Brother Trace is. He was supposed to say a few words." "I can't imagine," Mom answered, a frown deepening the lines between her eyes. Miss Sugar glanced at her watch, then spoke to Pat. "I'm sorry your minister isn't here. Would you like us to repeat the Lord's Prayer? Is there anything else you want to add?" With her neatly ironed handkerchief, Pat dabbed at perspiration beading her face. No, I can't think of anything. The Lord's Prayer will be fine, Miss Sugar," she said. So it was that under a hot Oklahoma sun, with ancient pines whispering to each other about strange human rituals, and a cardinal singing a cheerful song which belied the solemn occasion, Walter Harris, who came home only to die, was laid to rest. "Amen," Miss Sugar said at the conclusion of our recitation. We moved out from under the tent and stood for a few moments while Pat talked with the Sugarts. Grant put his hand in the pocket of his jeans. "Phone call," he explained. Watching his face as he spoke to the caller, I knew the news was not good. As he returned the phone to his pocket, he glanced down at me, shook his head, and sighed. My heart turned over. "What?" I asked. "What's wrong, Grant?" Gazing out across the headstones of the ancient cemetery to the far-off pines, the ones that stood in a grove of three trees, Grant spoke softly, almost as if he were talking to himself. "That was Jim," he said. "He told me some very bad news about Mort Bascom. Mort is dead." My ears heard, but my mind was slow to understand. "Mort? He can't be. I saw him just yesterday. Talk to him. He was fine." Grant replaced his hat and turned on his heel. "Wait," I called, hurrying to catch up with him. "Where did he die? When? How did he die? An accident?"
"Stay put, Darcy," Grant snapped, opening the door to his truck. "Let Jim and me handle this."